entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. A network of great shows, podcasts, awesome stuff to pass your shitty day by with. That is Bug Zapper Radio, True Time Theater, Best in Show, and this show that you're hearing right now, the DJ New Style Show. My name is Ken, and with me as always, a bunion on the golden foot of life, your friend and mine. What's the best way to introduce a guy named Steve? Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty well. I am full of Hear Us Tacos.
Yeah, I noticed that you were passing around a link, and I think you may have put it on your hero, what is it, your Steve the LARPer Facebook page?
I tried, but Facebook is awful and terrible.
Okay, so I'm looking at what Goatweed is calling a floral Dixie plate. Mm-hmm. Filled with
that's to reflect our commitment to excellence.
With a six-pack of tacos, by the way. I'm looking at this.
It's five tacos.
I'm seeing one, two. Oh, that. Okay,
there's doubles. They're the inside out ones.
Oh God, this is hideous. So you not only do you have five tacos, are you having a party of sorts, Steve?
No, I ate two of them and had to wrap three up. Okay. It was so heavy in my hand, the plate was bending.
You've glued the crunchy and soft tortillas together with some kind of a refried bean.
Mixed with sour cream, yes.
Refried and sour, wow.
It's
somebody,
good.
Somebody doesn't like his arteries because it's topped heavily with a two-tone cheese.
That's four-tone cheese. That's four cheese Mexican.
Do I see some cilantro or is that just
there's
lettuce?
There's a lot of cilantro in there. There's pico de gallo with a good amount of cilantro.
Don't ever put that fucking tone. That
pico de gallo.
Yo, there's some pico de gallo.
There's just some pico de gallo.
So what are you calling these?
Hear Us Tacos. Shout out to Truth Time Theater for the inspiration on that one.
Truth Time Theater, fantastic.
I think that was Reese Ramirez in a maybe in a.
If anybody had to guess, they would definitely pick the man named Reese Ramirez.
Yeah,
they would definitely pick him for everything. Whether it's who will represent my team in some sort of athletic event, some sort of
most likely soccer.
Yes, soccer. Or that, what's that little ring that's attached to an adobe building that they throw a little ball through? Why am I being racist?
That's like Aztec, man.
Gotta go back to your roots.
The Mesoamericans.
I'm sorry, man. See, now I feel like a fucking jerk. I see a plate of tacos, I think Reese Ramirez. I see a mic ready to be electrified, I think Reese Ramirez. So I am clearly not racist, or maybe it's just that I've returned from what they call the buckle of the Bible Belt, the South, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. Steve decided to take a trip, did some stuff, saw some things. We're going to talk about a little bit of it. I'm just looking at these tacos. I'm kind of jealous that I'm not chewing on one of these fucking things right now.
Came out.
Although, let me tell you what I could do without. Could do without the crunchy shell.
Soft only?
Soft only. And hold on, are those corn or flour?
It's corn. They're both corn. It's soft corn and hard corn.
Good man. I don't fuck with a flour tortilla.
I don't really like them either.
They just turn into cement.
For like a quesadilla, yeah. A quesadilla.
Don't do
it's,
that.
It's pretty good, but...
It's racist. I don't like the cheese. You can just take that cheese and shove it up your fucking ass. Cilantro, good.
Tons of cheese.
Pico de gallo, very good.
Yep. And also salsa verde.
And what I'm disappointed with is the ground beef. Disappointed in the meat choice.
That was fried in pork fat.
I don't give a shit. It's still fucking ground beef, and it looks like a goddamn lunch lady taco.
Well, I ate it, and you didn't.
That's true. Well, you didn't eat all of it. You did prepare a fucking bounty, though, for yourself. Like, you're just going to go play, play Bejeweled and feast.
Yeah, I actually had one. I made one just to see how it was because Jeopardy was coming on. I needed to go watch Jeopardy. So then I made five more. I don't know why I made so many more. And and this is like a third of the
You made a total of 10 of these?
No. I made one of these. And then I made five.
Oh, okay. So you ate the one as a tester.
Yes.
And then you prepared five more so you could watch Jeopardy and gorge.
Oh, no. I had one during Jeopardy. Then after Jeopardy, I made the rest because I had time.
Fantastic. Hear us tacos. Go to djnewstyleshow.tumblr.com for the recipe where Steve's going to post a picture of him pulling out a fucking oven cookie tray with a goddamn apron on and fucking oven mitts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it Grammy Steve's fucking recipe repository. Grammy Steve is going to teach you how to make shortbread and sit down in a lot and not finish it. I bet you do. I do too. Who doesn't? Who does not? So Steve, I don't know if you have anything prepared. We didn't get to have our usual meeting. We usually convene, talk about the things that have piqued your interest and the things that I've done or thought of or whatever. We kind of prep a little bit. We didn't get to do that too much. So all I've decided to do is talk about me. That's all I have prepared is the things that we did on our trip to Nashville. And I say our trip, I don't mean you. You were not invited.
No, I didn't go to Nashville.
You were not even invited.
No, I wasn't invited. Thank you.
You didn't even know that I had gone there because I got a text.
No, I did.
I had a text at 10 p.m., our usual prep time, and I had to explain to you that I was waiting for the fucking shuttle in Newark Airport.
I just didn't know when you got back. I knew you went there because I saw your picture of some Roach Motel or something.
Roach Motel? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Some motel.
Roach Motel?
I don't know. Okay, a motel.
Oh, I'm sorry. You saw the Loveless Cafe sign.
Oh, okay. Loveless Cafe.
No, that definitely looks like a fucking Roach Motel. And it was some sort of lodging from the limited amount of history I got from the placemat, which is all I did. I saw that this was a highly rated place in Nashville, decided to go there, and I read the placemat. It used to be a motor lodge, and that fizzled up, so they just decided to turn into a restaurant. And they became very successful. What a goddamn fucking plate of food they serve out there, though. The biscuits were fucking incredible. And I'm a northern man. Our exposure to biscuits is fucking Cracker Barrel and KFC.
Pillsbury.
And smack that fucking cardboard cylinder against your counter.
Pull out the shit out yourself every time.
Pull out a fucking cookie sheet, just like Steve in the back of his recipe book. The picture of him about the author, Steve wearing fucking oven mitts, holding a cookie sheet. You just put those fucking pre-cut discs on there. That's all we know. And you go to a place that really serves them and doesn't mass produce them like Cracker Barrel has some fucking high school kid just following a fucking recipe.
Cracker Barrel has terrible biscuits. I have no good palate for biscuits, but they're bad there.
I think it really depends on the high schooler that's making them at the time,
I guess,
or the person that has decided that Cracker Barrel is where they want to be. Let's be diplomatic to those that work at Cracker Barrel. A lot of people work there. A lot of people enjoy it. Some people just do it because that's what they do, and that's all they do. But the biscuits there are not anything like what I had at the Loveless Cafe. And I can't even express to you. They brought a plate of them before we ordered. They just put them on the table like fucking bread at an Italian restaurant here. Like one of those red checkered fucking tablecloth, red, green, and fucking white neon Italian restaurants that they have here that are run by Cubans. They just bring the bread out without even thinking. That's what they did with the biscuits. They came out with jam biscuits, and we finished them very quickly because it was our first meal of the day. We wanted to really load up. And the guy saw that we were done. He's like, "Want me to get you some more biscuits? Let me get you some more fucking biscuits." He didn't say fucking, but that's what I hear. It's like my brain fills in certain words between Southerners because they speak so slowly sometimes that fucking and goddamn just makes their way into the words that they're saying without ums or with anything. They're very well spoken, just that they're speaking at a different tempo than I'm used to. So my brain puts fucking in between "would you like some" and "biscuits." We say yes. The guy comes out with 6 biscuits. There's 2 of us at the table. 6 biscuits. We eat some and we leave the rest. We eat our meal. Incredible fried chicken. Let's be honest. Average catfish. For some reason, Amanda, I don't know if you know, if you're aware of this, Steve, but Amanda doesn't know how to pick a meal at a restaurant. She has an idea of things that she likes. She's heard a few things. Maybe we're at a place that was recommended by a friend. And they said, "Get this." And then she has that idea. But when Amanda's left to her own devices with a menu, she will pick something. And I'll hear her say, it's like, "I'm thinking of getting the catfish." And I just picture fucking sand blowing, like dry, terrible, awful bullshit. And I'm like, "Well, I'd never get that. I'm getting this." And she's like, "Oh." So the waiter comes over. It's her turn to order because I'm a polite gentleman. God damn it. She orders first. What does she get? She gets what I was getting. And where am I left? Where am I left, Steve? What do I have to get?
Get whatever the hell you want to get.
No.
Why do you have to get something else?
No.
Is that what you're going to say? You can't get the same thing?
Because, Steve, this is where if it was our first date, sure, I would get what I was getting. It's like, "Oh, she decided to get the same meal as me. How fucking great! We'll both enjoy the same thing and have a shared experience." However, she's gonna take 4 bites of it and be completely full and have a ton of it left. So now, Steve, whatever I wanted to try, I will get to try, and I can go and try and get something else.
Okay, well,
a rational person would think, get something else that you'd like. But no, this is a ploy. I have to get the thing that she wanted because she wanted to try it. So being a nice person, as I said I was, and as I truly am, I got the goddamn fucking sawdusty, terrible, curly, bullshit catfish. And it was okay. But I think if you fried my own scrotum skin, it'd probably taste just as good. It was okay because it was deep fried. That's really it. So she got the fried chicken, which was amazing, and I got the catfish. But we were just eating and fucking having a great meal, and we finished up, and we asked for a box. We were going to take our 2 or 3 biscuits home with us, and we said, "Can we have a box?" And the guy goes, "Oh, sure." He brings out these huge things for us to bring everything with us, and we're not going to just keep our fucking fried chicken in our hotel room unrefrigerated and try to eat that later. We're like, "No, we really just want to take biscuits home." He's like, "Oh, you want biscuits for the road?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's what we want." The guy comes out with a huge box and just drops on it. He goes, "There you go." I open it up. See, there must have been 12 biscuits in this.
Oh, wow.
There are fucking 12 goddamn biscuits, new jelly, everything. So we still put the other biscuits in there. And we're like, "We're going to eat all these."
That was all free.
Yeah.
Wow.
They did not give a fuck. They didn't give a fuck. They wanted you to have the goddamn biscuits, and they were incredible.
That's nice.
Absolutely incredible. I've come to learn that they cook them with lard, which is good.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So my grandma made cupcakes, Armour lard.
Fucking beautiful. Absolutely beautiful thing. And we went there 2 more times throughout the trip. We had plans of going to all different other places. Our trips, the way we plan them is that we pick a few places to eat, a few things to do, like the must-dos, the must-eats, and we see how they fall into our day, like our time there. And with this, we didn't really do too much planning. We just kind of picked a few restaurants and a couple things to do. And that's what we did. It was fucking incredible. The Loveless Cafe, which you thought was a goddamn roach motel.
I don't know. It was just a sign I saw. I didn't see the inside.
Ended up being fucking incredible. The problem I had with it is our second meal was breakfast. We went there and we had dinner. So with the fried chicken and the curly bullshit may as well be calamari. I wouldn't even fucking know. Catfish was our dinner. And excuse me, I need to take a drink. Pardon me.
Sounds refreshing.
Well, that's the sound of refreshment. We went back for breakfast. Have you ever had a real country breakfast, Steve?
Yeah, I went to Connecticut one time and went to Denny's.
And they had the country section with the
background. Country breakfast. Yeah, they have a meal there called the country. It's actually pretty good.
Have you ever been to the South?
Sausage gravy.
Have you ever been to the South?
Yeah, I've been to Florida.
Have you ever had? Well, does that even count?
No, I know it doesn't.
That does not count.
I have not been to the South.
They are big on their fucking quantities, and that dude Randy Taylor with the Jimmy Dean sausage was not fucking bullshitting. They had an option for the T-bone steak with sausage, with fucking grits, with fried chicken on a goddamn biscuit. Like, everything you could possibly have.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, I just want, like, some... I want some of those biscuits because they were incredible. I want some eggs. I like grits and coffee. It's all I want. And I'm looking at it, they're like, okay, you can build your own breakfast. So I got the a la carte thing, and I was considering that. And I saw... When I started to say it, they said you could get the country ham platter with the red eye sauce or red eye gravy. I'm like, well, I'll have that.
That's coffee gravy. That's good stuff.
I'm like, all right, I'll have that. Sure.
Like coffee gravy.
It was okay. I didn't give a shit about it. The thing that really bugged me is that country ham apparently may as well be named stroke ham.
Yeah.
This was the saltiest item I've ever eaten.
Oh.
The saltiest fucking item. I took a bite of this shit, and I swear to God, I could see my heartbeat in my eyes. Like, nice. my field of vision was pulsating with the rhythm of my fucking blood pumping through my veins.
All due to ham.
I was getting, like, little flutters in my vision. Not floaters, flutters, like... When you're at the back of a high velocity roller coaster and you black out for like a quarter second, it was like a strobe light. I think I was having a fucking mini stroke eating this goddamn ham.
It's possible.
It was incredibly fucking salty. And I don't know, people fucking. I saw there was some guy at a table. Said, I need to fucking. I don't know about you, but I need country ham. Saying that to his wife. Who obviously knows the guy likes fucking country ham because he spilled over the top of the fucking table. His whole fucking gut is his apron, basically.
Did he have more salt onto the top of country ham?
I saw him using the salt, too. He was pouring the fucking salt. You know, this bullshit-ass outfit ain't make a salty enough fucking country ham for me. How do I have to salt my country ham? God damn it. Piss me off. Just wasting calories, rattling a salt jar over it. And the guy was trying to convince his wife to order the country ham in addition to her plate so that she could have a little and he could have the rest. Because they never give you enough here. When I tell you they gave me a fucking... I can't even... Like, you know how big the placemats are at restaurants?
Yeah.
The fucking plate was bigger. And I didn't see... And it was like as if they had... There was no free spot on the fucking plate. Everything was covering it, hanging off the fucking sides of it. It was too much fucking food. I got up out of the seat, and it fucking hit me. Like, I became dizzy standing up. I didn't mean to be funny or make this comment. I just kind of let these words slip without even thinking of them. I stood up, became dizzy, and said, I might die. I actually said loud so that someone turned their head, I might die. I was seeing my fucking, my heartbeat through my eye. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. Have you ever had that happen? Like you could see like a little blood vessel shaped fucking portion of your vision just start to pulse with your fucking heart, with your heartbeat.
Hasn't happened to me. No,
I don't know what it was. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was really fucking scary.
You might have had a mini stroke.
I might have. It's because of that delicious stroke ham they give you at fucking Loveless Cafe. And I imagine they're not the only ones down there. I bet you every country ham, because they cure it in salt. They sell all this stuff in the gift shop. Like, you can buy their ham and their bacon and shit. And I'm like, oh, that would be a good gift if I could keep it refrigerated. But they're so proud of the fact that they cure it, that on the fucking fridge, they have a sticker that says, safe outside the fridge for 90 days.
Wow.
3 months. That's how fucking salted the shit is. That's how fucking, how long it's been cured, how preserved it is. It is, it's almost entirely salt. It's salt that they've crafted into some kind of ham-looking sheet.
That's like corned ham.
Yeah.
Like corned beef. That's basically even worse. Salted to hell.
Even worse. It's almost like ham jerky. Just fucking encrusted.
Sounds really good.
It does. It does. I had it. It almost killed me. Let's be honest. I'd probably eat it again. I would go back and have that breakfast again. God fucking damn. So yeah, you feel like you're going to die. That's how much shit it is. And usually when I'm home, I'll eat a meal. And I'll be fucking hungry in like a couple hours. Like I'll want to eat again. And then have dinner later. Three meals in a day. We had our breakfast. I ate lunch and dinner. I didn't want to. I did it because that's what we planned. We wanted to go to these fucking places. And I forced the shit down. I was completely fucking full. Forcing the shit down because I wanted to experience the shit that we had planned. I wanted to go to the places and order the things. And that one fucking meal could have lasted me the entire trip. I didn't feel hungry once after that. It was fucking, I didn't shit. I didn't take a dump. I probably still have some of that fucking stroke ham in me. I'm not even kidding. Nice.
I like stroke ham. I want to try this stuff.
Nice. Yeah, you should. You know what, Steve? Do you want me to ship you some stroke ham?
Yeah, next time you're down there.
Oh, I was gonna say it's so preserved that the next time I take a shit, that's I'll be true. Able to pull a piece out.
Okay.
90 days outside the fucking bowels.
Still, 90 days through your stomach good. Outside the bowels in your septic system.
It was expensive because you can eat it 17 times.
Yeah.
And it before it even degrades a little bit. So we did that. We ate and ate a fucking shitload, but we decided to commemorate the Memorial Day weekend by, I guess, celebrating an American hero. And I'm laughing because I knew very little of this person. I knew that they were on the $20 bill. I knew that they had been in several hundred duels and they weren't dead. I went to the Hermitage, which is the name given to the property that President Andrew Jackson,
great man,
lived. No, actually, no.
Why?
Because first of all, slave owner.
So was Washington.
So was Jefferson. Sure, they were. Andrew Jackson, fucking like you like watching the Yankees.
Yeah.
You like following baseball. That's how much Andrew Jackson loved slavery. This man didn't need another dime in his life. He didn't need to make money. But until the day he died, he operated a fucking cotton plantation just to get more fucking money for no reason. Because he loved slavery. He had 140 fucking slaves.
How big was this
140.
Place?
140. Huge. Huge.
Well, there you go.
It didn't need to be. It could have just been trees. You could have left it as a fucking forest. But no. No. Also terrible. Here's an indication that a historical person is terrible. If you're visiting their home and there's a video that explains them, Usually there is, right? You go on a tour somewhere. Yeah. They want you to get a feel for who this person is. So they give you the video before you do anything. If the video for the historical person just is negative, uses the words a fat dumpling of a wife to describe the person's wife, says a terrible person, ignorant. Like they said he was ignorant. They said he was a ruthless and horrible person.
Are they like ashamed of Andrew Jackson?
I think so. I think they're.
You'd think at his home in his hometown, they would be like proud of him despite whatever he did.
No. I'll tell you this: I don't think there's any black people that go and visit the fucking Andrew Jackson estate. And I was watching this, and I'm like, God damn it, holy shit! Imagine if you brought your family as a black man. Imagine if you brought your family to visit this, and you're watching this fucking movie. And you're like, oh, this is the guy that's on the $20 bill. It's our seventh president. He's helped us win the fucking revolution as a boy, helped us win the fucking war of 1812 as a general. He's cemented in American history. Let's see what he's all about. Oh, he fervently fought against the abolition of slavery. voted against every advancement for women and blacks.
That's the South, man. I mean, is he really that out of sync for that time, being in the South?
No. But I don't know, man. I guess maybe that's just how it goes. I don't know. But it seems like at least in the movie, right? You go to George Washington's house. They maybe mention the fucking slaves, the plantation, all this shit. Monticello, Jefferson owned slaves, really enjoyed some of them. They all kind of give you this sense that there was guilt, like unknowing guilt.
Yeah.
There was a sense of
pleasure.
Zero guilt. Yes. Joy. Pride. There was pride of ownership is the feeling. Joy. Pride of ownership is the feeling they put forth about this man. We got to go into the slave quarters.
Odd.
Yeah, we got to see some of the cotton, pick some of it. And the best thing about this...
Picking cotton?
Yeah, I picked a little bit here and there. Not too bad. The best part of this is that there was an audio tour. And there was the regular tour, which would, like, you enter the number into your listening device and it says, Andrew Jackson didn't care for the blacks. Like, it would be very blunt. It would tell you everything. Like, these are a pair of Andrew Jackson's shoes. Notice that there are no right or left. But like, just weird shit.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, yeah, they had a statue. Like, I didn't know what his wife looked like. I just knew that he had a wife at some point. And you come to these lifelike mannequins, like the scale, they're two scale, life size, of Andrew Jackson, about 6'1", and like they said he probably weighed about 140 pounds, like a fucking waif, a little fucking skinny
beanpole,
yeah. And then this fucking 4'5", 250, like she was two bills if she was one. And you know what? When the movie said dumpling of a wife, goddamn! If a dumpling was a human, it would be his wife.
I'm still hung up on the there was no left or right shoe.
So yeah, they had him in his they had him dressed like they were at some ball, and I guess the dancing shoes of the time had no left or right.
They're interchangeable?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a straight shoe? Man,
think about it. Yeah, it was like a little fucking, like a little ballet slipper. You see the fucking broads wear now. Basically, he's wearing like a little fucking slipper. Just terrible.
Sounds terrible.
A little dumpling of a woman. And I'm listening to the tour, and there's a couple different ones. There's one that would explain some things from the wife's perspective. Like, anybody fucking gives a shit. I didn't even know he was a married guy, first of all, until I got here. I'm like, oh, okay, he had a wife, whatever. And then you would hit the number for the wife thing, and it'd be like some fucking overdramatic hag, to steal a line from my dad, reading a letter from Rachel to Andrew. And it would be always be something like, "My dearest Andrew, every minute that keeps you from me is another beat my heart won't last beyond." It's whatever, like, "I will die if I don't see you again, my beloved. And don't forget that you are my husband," and blah, blah, blah. And then they would read a letter from him to her. They're trying to paint this, like, this relationship between this gaunt, slender man who loved to wear dancing shoes and his fucking fat sow of a wife. And it would be like, "My dearest Rachel, once I win this war and end it, bring it to its victory, I treasure the thought of moving back home in my retirement and spending the rest of my days with you." And then they would say, "Naturally, that never happened." And they explained that he was never home. He left his wife alone more than fucking anybody in history. That bitch was alone writing letters about how her heart's gonna stop if she doesn't get to see him. And he's like, "Oh, I can't wait till the wings of love bring me back to you." And I'm hearing this shit being read, and I'm like, this guy's just avoiding his fat wife, or this guy needed a wife to get elected president and is probably a homo. Maybe he's gay. And goddammit, why not? Because they had to explain the decor a little bit. They're like, "Now you may notice that the design of this house doesn't really leave much room for Rachel. It looks more like a bachelor pad." This was redesigned after she died. Well, I mean, after she died was when he lived in the fucking house. Like, he didn't live when she was
finally
there.
Moved back.
He moved in, and he's like, "Oh, what was me? My fat wife is dead. Let me put her in the garden where she loved to be fat and not seen by me. Let me put her out there, my beloved Rachel. Let me put her out there. Oh, what was me? I don't have a wife anymore." And he just fucking totally, like, redecorated his houses, got, like, some more slaves. Brought a couple in. I don't know. Terrible guy. And when I'm listening to this tour, I see that, oh, there's a green tour, which is the main. And there's a red one, which is the wife's perspective. But there's a blue one. So I'm listening to the main tour, and it's like, these houses for the slaves had no heat. And after picking 200 pounds of cotton in a day and having bloody hands, only to go to bed and wake up and do it again indefinitely until you were too injured to work, or you tried to escape and were punished and hanged, you would go back in here, try to find some resolve, and work again and keep your family together. Like, very somber on shit. I'm like, fuck, what's this blue number? I entered the blue number, and it's like, "Hey, kids, could you imagine living on Andrew Jackson's property?"
Oh, it's the
and
one.
Playing?
And playing.
And playing running through the gardens? And living in a house like this? It's all fucking silver linings. And they're not teaching these kids anything. They're like, "Oh, man, I'd love to be a slave." And then they started to switch over it a little bit. They're like, "If you were one of the Jacksons, you would have lots of toys and clothes made for you. If you were one of the slave kids, you would have dolls made out of rags and corn cobs. And you wouldn't go to school." And I'm like, listen to this. I'm like, dude, if I was a kid, I would be like, "Yo, I don't give a shit. I want to be a slave." Like, a Jackson kid gets sent to the finest military boarding school the country has to offer. A slave kid gets to hang outside all day and never go to school. Oh, shit, you sold me.
Sign me up.
How can I get into that slave life? They really made it fucking enticing for children. Because kids don't want to go to school. I mean, they don't know that they have to. They don't know that that's a thing they need to do. They know that they're forced to. They know that their parents tell them to. But given the chance, they would not want to go. So if I'm hearing that the slaves live a life of just playing outside with all kinds of corncob dolls, fucking not going to school, which life are you going to choose? I know which one I'm picking. No pun intended.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. And the other thing about the Andrew Jackson Museum thing is we got there just in time for the movie, and we were ushered in before we bought our fucking tickets. The guy's like, "Oh, come on, hurry, the movie star." We're like, "Oh, but you got your tickets? When's it?" He goes, "Ah, we'll get them afterwards." Got put into the movie. Then we got ushered over to get our fucking audio tour bullshits. And I'm like, we didn't fucking pay for this. We didn't fucking pay for this. So I got to witness the fucking just horrible home. Horrible in that all the atrocities that probably were taking place in that fucking home. And see the grounds and learn a little bit about our terrible seventh president. Who, by the way, was practically just appointed. At that point, it was just the electoral college. They just, like, think about how difficult it would be for just some dude in the woods to become president, which is basically what happened. He was I think elected by popular vote or by electoral college, but they just decided that John Quincy Adams is going to be the fucking president. So he lost, and then he fucking won the next election. But they, you know, like, who the fuck knew him? He was just a dude in the woods. It seemed very easy to become the president back then. Now, not so much, Steve. Not so much at all.
Now you need money.
Did you know anything about Andrew Jackson?
Oh, just what we've discussed before, that he was in a shitload of duels, killed a bunch of people.
I didn't know that, man, but I wouldn't put it past him. They actually did have a set of dueling pistols on display.
Nice.
One of them was all fucked up, too. I got to be honest.
Backfired.
No, I bet you that's the one that he fucking jammed up when you present the supposedly identical dueling pistols.
Yeah, and he just, 'cause
I'll tell you this,
sabotaged them.
You want to have an undefeated dueling record and be seen as some kind of a dueling fucking legend? Then you're going to have one good pistol and one fucked up pistol, and you're going to be the guy handing out the guns.
Yep.
This dude was a fucking shiesty piece of shit. Who probably killed honorable men who were standing up for some belief. Like, you shouldn't have slaves. He's like, I shouldn't have slaves? Well, then let's duel. Take your pistol, sir.
No, you know what? Here's the thing, though. With a duel, when you challenge someone to a duel, the person that gets challenged picks the first pistol. So he probably had the pistols, you know, and he probably just pissed people the fuck off until they challenged him to it.
Oh, I see.
And then he controlled, you know, the first pick, and then he always knew which one to pick. So he was probably just walking around being a complete asshole to people. Just, yeah, come on, what are you going to do, fucking duel me? And then he gets challenged. Oh, I'm going to fuck you up, man.
I just read that Goatweed posted about Andrew Jackson's estate, that he ran fantasy slavery leagues and hosted insane draft parties. Pretty awesome. So that was fun. I looked around while that movie was playing and didn't see one black person there. Didn't see anybody applaud.
I don't know how you could applaud any of that.
Oh, bravo! What a man! What a great man! Yeah, you know, it's one of the things you see. It's on the list. It's on the list of things that you can see while you're there. So we decided to do it. And another one was the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Ryman Auditorium, the Grand Ole Opry House. We saw all these things, and they were all pretty fucking cool. I'm not that big of a country music fan, as you can tell by listening to some of these other episodes that we've done. But Amanda is, and it's my impression that she is, at least. Until we went to the Grand Ole Opry House to see a live show. A live radio show that they put on there. They basically do 30-minute segments of some fucking country performers come out. They tell jokes to the delight of the fucking crowd. And then there's a mix of bluegrass, country, and all this other shit. And it was okay. It was good. And I'm like, well, you know, Amanda, what'd you think of it? You like the country music? She's like, I'm just, I don't know anybody here. I didn't know any of the songs. I'm like, well, fuck you. You know, do you have to know the song? She's like, Darius Rucker was going to be here next week.
Yeah, Hootie. Exactly. I love Hootie.
He's good. Did you know, like, I mean, we know him as Hootie, right? I guess that didn't work out, so now he's a country artist, and he's pretty goddamn big as a country artist.
I think he was beforehand. I think he was like a solo country act and then joined the band, got popular, and then, you know, that didn't last, and then went back to basically what he was doing before.
I'm like, well, you know, we're not going to get to see him, so he's not here, but we had these people. She goes, yeah, but, you know, Aaron Lewis was going to be here too. Like, he was here, like, last week. We could have gone and seen him. I'm like, who the fuck is Aaron Lewis? Do you know who Aaron Lewis is, Steve?
No clue.
Do you remember the band Stained?
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy who was on the outside looking in. He was the guy who apparently every song had to be about how he wanted to kill himself. Just couldn't stand life. Then he didn't have one fucking happy song. And I guess he had a great 2002, an okay 2003. And now he's a country artist. So,
he's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive. Oh, still kicking.
I guess he never went through with it then.
Yeah, just complete front. Now I guess from being on the outside looking in, he's gone to being on that old dirt road, that lonesome road. Aaron Lewis. So yeah, the Grand Ole Opry. Didn't know when she said we're going to go see something at the Grand Ole Opry, I didn't know what the fuck it was, to be honest. I knew it was a thing. I knew it was a place. I knew it was very old. Didn't know shit about it. I didn't know that it was a live radio program. I guess that's been running for a very, very long time.
I didn't know that either.
And the best is that the guy would do, there would be a guy at a podium that would interrupt the segments to do live reads. You're like, well, just want to take a minute to talk about Cracker Barrel.
Nice.
And they'd flash the Cracker Barrel logo up on the screens, like where you would be seeing the zoomed in face of the artist if you're very far away, like the big fucking projector flats, whatever the fuck it is. And I'm looking around and people are like photographing the fucking Cracker Barrel logo. That, like, I took a picture of the stage. Every concert picture I've ever taken is the same mix of blue and purple and pink.
Right.
Completely doesn't look like anything. These people aren't taking pictures of the fucking performer or the stage. They're taking pictures of a fucking Cracker Barrel logo. Just amazing to me.
Oh my God, Cracker Barrel here.
So it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. Apparently, I think the early 1900s is when this shit started. I don't know. It's all the history has been recited before me. I've been through tours. I read plaques. I've had things plugged into my head by fucking headphones. Don't remember much of it. I just know that it was originally done in a church called the Ryman Auditorium. Then they moved out of that. They took a big portion of the fucking stage and mounted it into the new stage so that they had a piece of the old with the new. Amanda and I got to go up on the stage and fucking have our pictures taken like a bunch of fucking douche. And that was it. That was that. The Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman Auditorium and all that other shit, the Country Music Hall of Fame. Oh, that was another thing. Do you like museums, Steve?
Yes, but certain museums.
What do you mean?
I don't like art museums unless it's like really old shit. Like, I can't stand modern art, like the MoMA. Okay. I've been to the MoMA once and it was the stupidest shit I've ever seen. Like
a pile of light bulbs.
Yeah, like if it's the Smithsonian or, you know, the Metropolitan Museum, like those are good because, like, there's historical shit there. They'll have, like, swords and fucking, you know, armor and stuff like that. Like, I find that interesting. I don't, like, if it's a museum about, like, a specific thing.
Wow, a LARPer likes a museum with swords and suits of armor.
That's my interest. That's why I LARPed.
I know.
I like that shit. I like old school, you know. face-to-face warfare. I think that shit's cool. I don't want to get involved in it, but it's fun to learn about. Or like really ancient stuff.
What do you think about like memorabilia, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They have Britney Spears camel toe suit. No, some shit. You don't like that?
I wouldn't even be interested in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think. Like if it was like the Cooperstown, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame, I'd probably be interested. But that, you know, that I like baseball. You know, I don't even want to see museums of stuff that I was interested in. So if it was country music, no, not really. I don't think any music really. I would be very much interested in to see a Hall of Fame for music.
I thought it was pretty cool to see like a suit that Hank Williams performed in. Hank Williams guitar from the 40s that didn't have any metal on it. Just
dude,
plastic.
You can just go to like you can go to New York and see all that shit in fucking what is it? Hard Rock Cafe. That's basically a rock and roll museum.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. They have a whole bunch of different
shit. They have four fucking things and one of them is from fucking Everclear. Like Everclear's gel. This is the white haired 50-year-old's gel. He used it in 95. Like who gives a shit? I like the old stuff that was well preserved. I think that's I don't know what it is, but that fucking really interests me. Like this suit that he decided to wear, probably didn't think much of it. It's like, yeah, fuck it, it's a goddamn suit, and now here it is, just presented forever at this fucking exhibit. And the guitar from made during World War II, so there's no fucking metal on it, just plastic knobs and all that shit. It just was like scratched up nice, really fucking cool shit. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, that Hank Williams was in that fucking suit. And they're like, holy shit, look at this car. It's got a goddamn gun mounted on it. It's got a nice. It's got fucking Longhorns on the front. All chromed out. Look at this fucking car. That's amazing. And then across from it, an even more amazing car, Elvis's golden fucking solid gold Cadillac is what it's called.
Oh, yeah. It got gold leaf, right? The whole thing is like gold leaf?
No. The whole thing, first of all, it's a Cadillac.
Like the fenders are made of solid gold?
First of all, it's a Cadillac. Prestigious in its time, right? That was the mark. It was a great car.
Especially back in the 60s.
You had made it, I guess, if you had one of those. Elvis made it, got one of those, and decided, you know what I'm going to do, man, after I have sex with a child and do fake karate in the back of this goddamn car? You know what I'm going to do, man? I'm going to repaint this son of a bitch. Like, well, King, what are you going to do? How are you going to repaint it, King? Well, I'm going to get gold. And, okay, you gonna paint it gold? No, I'm not gonna paint it gold, goddamn. I'm painting with gold. And, mix in with the gold, crushed diamonds, fish scales, and fucking, so he had crushed diamonds, crushed rhinestones, crushed fish scales, and fucking 24 karat gold mixed into this fucking paint and applied 47 coats.
I gotta look this up after this.
How fucking rich do you need to be?
No, that's great. I think that's
great. not only that, Steve. In the back, where I guess Elvis is gonna be having sex with a child and doing fake karate, and doing copious amounts of drugs, a solid gold TV, solid gold record player in a fucking car, and a solid gold phone. For some reason, a fucking phone. I don't know. What? How are you hooking up a fucking phone? He had a phone.
Just run that line out to the car.
You know what it was? It was a fucking direct line to the driver. This is a fucking four-door car. What? It's a four-door car, and he's got a direct line to the goddamn driver.
Can't roll down the window, I guess.
There was no fucking window. At least there was none that I could see.
Oh.
Let me tell you, man. Why don't you hang left up there, man? Thank you. I'll call you back if I need anything. Watching some goddamn hee-haw back here, goddamn. Got Conway Twitty on a fucking LP. And I looked at it, I'm like, I bet you in its day that was fucking impressive. But right now, you could have just spray painted my grandmother's entertainment center fucking gold. It would have looked exactly the fucking same. It's amazing how the most cutting edge shit with a few years removed just looks like absolute fucking garbage. If it wasn't gold plated, nobody would take that from your curb. Nobody. You could put that entire setup, if it's not plated in gold, right by your fucking mailbox and write free Not a fucking person would even fucking consider taking it.
Justin Bieber would take it.
Why would Justin Bieber take it?
Because he needs a matching gold car to his chrome car.
Well, I'm just saying if it's not gold. I mean, naturally, anybody's going to take something that's plated in gold because you could fucking, you know, take the gold. Wait,
did they have an estimate as to how much that car was worth?
If they did, I didn't see it. I just saw diamonds, rhinestones, 24-karat gold, and fish scales for whatever reason. It did have a nice sheen to it, I'll tell you that. Beautiful sheen. Not that impressive, to be honest. The fucking paint? I could give a shit like you could have told me just, he put some pearl cream in there, man. Crushed up pearls, shit. But not that impressive. So we have Hank Williams' guitar, like the guitar he fucking played with. He recorded music with this thing. His suit that he performed in.
See, I think guitars are interesting. Elvis's, they have, like, a guitar.
Elvis's
museum.
Solid gold car, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, 4 feet away, Taylor Swift's laptop.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. They had fucking Taylor Swift's laptop, and it was hooked up to a TV. And all that the TV was showing was videos that she had edited on the fucking laptop.
Oh, my God.
Which essentially were fucking YouTube videos from 2008.
She's country? I didn't even know she was country. I thought she was just, like, pop.
She started out country. Like, she had more of a twang. More of a fucking, like, a steel guitar-ish kind of sound and whispery vocals in the background, goddamn. Now she's pretty much pop, but they had her laptop in there. And goddamn it, because of Amanda, we're standing there longer than any fucking exhibit. I'm like, hey, Amanda, two sets of teenage girls have come and gone since we've been here. Can we fucking move on? Can we look at something else? And she's like, okay. So we decided to move on and left her fucking 2004 iBook.
Did she get a little misty-eyed, Amanda? Then she had to move on?
No, I mean, you know, the videos are what they are. They're fucking YouTube videos. Some of them had a couple of amusing moments. But, I mean, look, if I wanted to watch her fucking YouTube channel, I would go and watch her fucking YouTube channel. I want to see people who've lived horrible lives, got a little money, and just blew it on fucking painting their car with diamonds and fish. That's what
yeah,
I want to see.
That sounds a little more interesting than a laptop. I mean,
exactly. But she's in the goddamn Country Music Hall of Fame. Goddamn.
Was it an Apple? Or
yeah, it was an iBook.
It was an iBook?
iBook. That was pre-MacBook, I think. Fuck. I saw an instrument. Steve, a three-necked guitar, which was it had a like ukulele component, a fucking 12-string and a 6-string kind of
badass,
and it was an acoustic, so it had three fucking holes in it. It's pretty fucking amazing. They had a picture of the guy playing it. I'm
really?
Like, look at this shit.
Wait, hey, whose guitar was it?
I don't know. Fucking
Joe Schmo,
Cougar B. Ball Sweat. I don't know. So pick a fucking North American big cat, get a letter for his middle initial, and then some fucking kind of down home vague reference to genitalia. I don't know.
Bobcat D. McDonald.
There you go. Yeah, it was Bob. Shit. Bobcat D. McDonald III. His fucking triple neck guitar. And he had to have three because he's the third. Bobcat D. McDonald. Goddamn. And so,
that sounds like an awesome guitar, though.
It was pretty fucking cool to look at. I don't know.
A 12 is 6 a ukulele, and it's acoustic?
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. So I'm looking at all this shit, and, you know, looking at they have platinum and gold records on the wall, and looking at that, it's pretty cool. And then they get to the actual Hall of Fame part, which is like, In the Baseball Hall of Fame, they have the plaques where they have the person's face and their stats or whatever. I don't know. But they have
like gloves and bats and shit that they use. And sometimes
they're uniforms. But they have the area with the plaque, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the Country Music Hall of Fame, they had a big rotunda kind of place with all the different plaques. And I've heard of a few, especially after being on some of these tours. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, God damn it. You know, of the few that I've heard, one of them being Johnny Cash, could you give him a fucking normal face? Like, Johnny Cash was not particularly a sightly man. But you knew who the fuck he was. Like, if you saw a picture of him, you'd know who he was.
Yeah.
If you saw Johnny Cash's fucking Hall of Fame plaque, he looks like somebody's fucking grandma. I don't know if you can Google this. Johnny Cash plaque Hall of Fame. That's got to come up with something, right? Yeah, there it is. Looks like somebody's fucking Aunt Ruth. Johnny Cash plaque Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
It does look like a grandma.
It looks like somebody's fucking grandma. It looks like Aunt Beru from Star Wars, just urging Luke to stay on for another season.
Wearing
Uncle Owen! Aunt Beru!
And he's wearing Cousin Eddie's leisure suit.
Yeah. I mean, he was inducted in 1980, so I guess whatever he's wearing at the time. That's the other unfortunate thing. At least in baseball, your plaque is your fucking uniform.
No, but here's the thing. They have to September 12th, 2003. So this plaque must have been made after his death, no? Unless they just updated the plaque.
They probably updated the plaque. They probably updated it. Which is terrible. They should have gone with a more, I don't know, recognizable fucking thing. Like some of the other ones, I mean, you can kind of tell.
I'm looking at some of the other ones that they have here. Dolly Parton looks like she's about to fucking eat somebody. She looks like Melina
from
Mortal Kombat.
That's true.
Elvis Presley looks like someone just knocked his fucking jaw loose. Like someone just delivered a left hook hard to Elvis.
Yeah. You know, there's a bunch there. And then there's always the one weird name, like... I think Veelchop posted a picture from the Baseball Hall of Fame of someone with the nickname Cum. His caption was worst nickname ever. I think it was like Cumberland Posey or something like that. And it was just like Cum in quotes. They had a guy named Connie B. Gay. B. Gay.
It's like Johnny B. Good, but you know.
Oh, I need to flash back to the Andrew Jackson thing a little bit. They had a portion where, in the audio tour, where they named all the fucking slaves. Like, they recited the names of the slaves.
What is this, like Memorial Day for the slaves?
They're like, if you'd like to hear the names of the slaves, press play. I'm like, of course. Hit play. And they're like, Agatha. Big William.
No last names.
Alabama. Right? Yeah, no last names. Alabama Hannah. Tennessee Hannah. Cancer.
Like
one,
Cancer.
One of them was named Cancer. One of them was named Little Dick. One of them was named Ugly or something like that. It was like really fucked up. They had some really fucked up names. How the
Ugly
fuck are you gonna
Joe.
Yeah. Hey, Cancer, get over here. Fat Hannah, Old Hannah, a lot of Hannahs, different names. Oh, man. But yeah, I was really irritated. They had a fucking somebody's goddamn ghoulish grandma for Johnny Cash. Really terrible.
Definitely does not look like him. I wonder if you could find the original picture that was made from.
I don't know. I don't know. Fuck. So, Steve, what we did a lot of was touring, museums, and honky-tonking. You know what that is, Steve? Do you know what any of that is?
I've heard of honky tonk as in like the honky tonk piano, but I don't know what the verb is.
Go into bars, aka bars with live performances, live bands, live singers, live sangers.
Sangers.
They call them honky tonks, and they typically have a drum set in a corner, a guitarist. Maybe a guy's just by himself, or he's got a bassist, or there's some fucking trollop. We went to this one place called Tootsie's, which I guess is a well-known honky-tonk bar in Nashville. And we're hanging out, and this is our first experience. Somebody gets on the stage, and she's like, all right, everybody, pick up your bottle, whatever you're drinking. We're going to have a holler and a swaller. And I'm like, what the?
A holler and a swaller.
Where the fuck am I? So everybody started screaming, and then everybody started drinking. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do a holler and swaller here and there. And I'm watching, I'm drinking, I'm having a pretty good fucking time. I'm enjoying this. So I'm like, you know what? This is good. We're going to do this at night now. Like, because this was during the day. We had just landed. We're like, you know, we got some time before we have to check in. Let's just drop our bags off in the car and just fucking walk around. And we went in here. She's taking requests, you know, singing songs and shit. And it was really good. And I'm like, fuck, that's great. So we decided to go out later that night. And we, you know, everything's just fucking packed. We can't find a place to get in. And Amanda is partial to country artists or country groups or whatever that are fronted by broads. She's not not that into like country songs where it's some dude in a goddamn ball cap, boots and jeans, just fucking telling you about the highway. Not into that shit. She likes the fucking chicks, and who gives, you know, why not? I'm okay with that. So we go and we start walking down the street, and literally every fucking bar, as we walk by, we look at the window. There's a dude in a drum set playing. A wall separating the next bar and this bar you're just looking at, and then another window with a fucking drum set. They're playing 6 inches from each other. Every fucking bar is packed and has a fucking performance going on. We find this one where we walk in, and it's open. And we walk in because we hear some broad singing some fucking Hayseed fucking song. I don't know what it is. Amanda recognized it. Some bullshit about fucking being here for a party. I'm here for a party. Whatever the fuck it was. Just terrible, hideous. But Amanda recognized it, so we walked in. And as I walk in, I'm like, God, this fucking chick is really butch. Look at this. She looks like a dude. And
it
we
is
turn,
a dude.
We turn around, and the stage is like a drummer and two guitars, and they're all dudes. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look over at the bar, and this bitch is standing on the fucking bar singing about 20 feet removed from her fucking band. I'm like, I don't like this shit one fucking bit. Could you imagine how fucking shitty and just unnecessary you'd feel as a fucking member of that band while you're fucking trying to make it without you lead goddamn singer is standing on a fucking bar singing to fucking just unimpressed people. Nobody was like really excited by her. She wasn't that good looking. She wasn't that good at fucking singing. But she's just up on the bar. I'm making it happen. I'm here for the party. Terrible. So we decide, you know what? Everything's packed. This isn't. We're going to just go in the back, have a few drinks, and just hang out and see what happens. So we take a seat in the back next to this group of people that are in the garb. They are dressed for this activity.
Hold on. Did you wear any cowboy hats during your stay?
Ironically, in a gift shop, we took pictures of ourselves wearing the fucking rodeo shirts and the hat. That is the extent of it. I didn't buy one. I don't own one. I don't own fucking boots. I don't own any goddamn cowboy attire. I don't fault people for having it. It's just I can't see myself in it. I can't see myself being comfortable in it. Therefore, I never would own it or even think to wear it.
Gotcha.
So we're next to people that are dressed for an evening of honky tonkin', apparently. Boots, fitted fucking rodeo shirts, goddamn perfectly fucking folded hats. Like, I don't know, like the exact shit that you would expect to see at a fucking line dance or a goddamn rodeo. You know what I'm saying? Like that exact shit. So
nice press shirts.
Not a wrinkle in sight except for the crease in their fucking jeans.
That's meant to be there. There's lots of starchy smell in the air.
Yeah. So they're next to us. And what I've noticed is that at this point, I kind of realized that everybody in Nashville is that I've seen, nobody's like as I expected them. I expected a lot of slovenly people, and yeah, I saw them at the Loveless Cafe eating fucking red eye gravy like it was a glass of orange juice.
Red eye gravy.
Yeah, and I saw a couple, but largely it's young broads that are out to get a stiff one plugged in them. And like 50-something cowboy dudes who look like they can and are excited by throwing hands. I didn't see one young dude dressed up like a cowboy. It's some guy that's like at least 50, and he's looking for a fucking reason to just put his fist through a face.
Nice.
And so we're sitting next to a table of people that fit that description. And all of a sudden, the broad goes away, gets to collect tips from the crowd, and the guys decide to play some fucking song. And then they get up real quick like that. And I'm like, oh shit, they don't like this fucking song. They don't give a shit about goddamn fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're really pissed. And all of a sudden, they take to the fucking floor, and they start a goddamn line dance. And I'm looking at this. They're in perfect fucking formation. Their timing is perfect. Occasionally they just really, boom, stop their fucking boot, spin, do a little tip of their goddamn hat, fucking hands on their hips. I'm like, oh my God, I want to fucking laugh.
But you know what? You want to know something?
Though? I want to laugh. I want this- to. I want to not. I want to let them know that I think they're ridiculous, but I want to keep my molars.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, most of the people, well, I would say most of the people that cover the land in the United States are those types of people. I mean, you get that straight down from Florida.
Oh, of course.
The whole southern border. And I mean, you go outside California and above and north of there, and then New England and north. Everything is country. The whole middle of the country and the whole south of the country.
I don't like where I'm headed, so I'm just going to keep my head in my glass country. I like that. You just fucking face the bar and let the music convince right. you to get just, up and go home.
The quiet cowboy.
I like that shit. I don't like the I'm out to dance tonight, god damn it. Anybody say something about my boot stomping and we got a problem, buddy. Let me tell you something right the fuck now. 316-768-4472. I have a feeling I'm going to get a bit of a tongue lashing.
Yeah.
You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
This is Clayton from Texas. How are you
doing? Oh, shit. Clayton, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Clayton?
I'm not doing too bad. No, I'm so far, I haven't had a single problem with anything you said. And a couple things. One, every time somebody talks about, like, you know, you're talking about the lady on the bar and the band is sitting there, like, how did we end up here? Like, the guitar is sitting there, like, how the fuck did I end up doing this shit? Mm-hmm. I always think back to, like, that. Like, remember that band Styx?
Yes.
Like, there's just a couple of guys that were like, we just made this rock band to get chicks, and then all of a sudden they did all these ballads and shit, and they had to fire the lead singer because they're like, no, we just wanted to hit the road and get laid, man. Why are we fucking horrible? Like, how the fuck did we end up here?
Yeah.
You know, singing to the gay anthem. Anyway, the whole line dancing thing, I know they do it here, but it's a pretty, what's the word? Like, Colonel Travis would draw a line in the sand, and you're either doing it, you're either on that line, or you're off it. And the people who are on that line, as a rule, you never see anybody line dancing that's not into it. I mean,
it's true.
I mean, into it. I mean, like, they're dressed with shit. They look like, and the other ones on the other side of the line are doing nothing but making fun of those guys all dressed up, like matching shirts, look like a bunch of faggots sitting around. Oh, and if you're on this side of the line, you're doing nothing but making fun of the fucking queers who are doing the line dancing.
Yeah.
While we're sitting over here drinking, they're like, well, goddamn, we're getting the pussy. Yeah, bullshit. The girls are sitting over here too, motherfucker. You know? So just like, yeah, you're really making the moves on that line dancing scene. It just it looks queer, and not to mention the fact that, like, I don't know real cowboys, like, who they'll dress up nicely, but they're not dressing up in such a way like I'm gonna go line dancing. I'll see them go do dancing, they'll go have a good time.
This group
about
this,
line dancing.
Yeah, this group is clearly dressed to dance, and when they I missed all but one of the boot stomps, and when I fucking saw the expression on their face as they all fucking went, clump!
Were they happy as hell?
They were so fucking self-satisfied, and they had that, come and say something to us, grin on their fucking face. And I wanted to, but I'm with Amanda, and she's not going to throw hands with me.
I'll tell you what. that every one of them that's doing that boot stomp, it's the same thing like those faggots at Fenway Park that want to go bump, bump, bump in that goddamn fucking song. All at the same time, they all stare at you, high five. Yeah, we nailed it this time, you fucking shit. It's embarrassing. They finally get the real guy, get Neil Diamond, and he doesn't even know the words of the song. He could care less.
Yeah, exactly.
That song 35 fucking years ago. I don't even care.
So good. Yeah. So good. Clayton, the best biscuits are made with lard. I am now a believer.
Well, say that again?
The best Armor biscuits lard. Are made with lard.
Oh, of course.
Yep. I didn't know.
So, it's not lard, it's manteca here, but it's the same.
Oh, shit. All right, yeah.
Mantequilla.
Fuck. Did you happen to see Steve's Hear Us Tacos?
No, I did not.
It is a travesty. But I appreciate his efforts.
But how do you... Okay, poblano, what the fuck, dude? Poblano's the shit. Jalapenos suck dick.
Yeah, jalapeno is like the entry-level pepper. It's like, well, I want some spices.
Although,
dude,
I am a fan of...
You can taste the dirt he was sitting in.
No, my thing, I don't have a problem with poblano peppers being a pepper. It's the overuse by... Mr. Chef Bobby Flay. You know,
I think you need a fucking basement throwdown, Bobby Flay.
<Yeah. laughs>
where he beats you at basement food.
Any day. I will throw it down with that guy any day of the week.
Yeah, he's got all his accolades, shows where Steve's like, I got it.
Hey,
I got no proof.
Sandra Lee has a show.
That's true. Her entire cooking is like, let's unbox something, let's open up a package.
Yeah, well her show is called Semi-Homemade.
Yeah.
You know, it's made at your home. You're opening the can of refried beans at your home.
Well, I think you just proved a point that they're just out of ideas. We need to get set up here so bad that we'll just make up anything. Which reminds me, before I forget, I finally, I started a Facebook, My Mom's Farm.
Awesome.
Now a fan page, and I'm going to start probably just, I got one picture up, but I'm going to start putting a shitload of pictures of the place. You know, and it's funny, when you take time to take a look at it, I can see what Steve's like. It looks like the entrance to Jurassic Park, and it's very fucking cool.
And it does.
It's an amazing place that they worked, you know, their asses off to get it nice, and so it's kind of an homage to her and some of her experiments and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's got everything from, you know, squash grape. Anyway, I don't know.
Holy shit! I'm looking at the picture of the squash plant. That's fucking. Yeah. That's no joke.
That's Texas, man. Dude, I wish I could grow some stuff in Texas.
Is that like a fucking battleship in the back? Jesus Christ!
Oh yeah, that's an old tank. Dude, we utilize everything. We cut up everything, and if it can hold water, if it can't, you know, we use it for all kinds of shit. So I've got old water tanks and all kinds of shit that I take out there and cut up.
Facebook.com/mymomsfarm. Now I want a rivalry between Steve's herb garden and Clayton's mom's farm.
Absolutely not.
My mom's farm on Facebook is definitely going to defeat Steve and his. Fucking
well,
shitty herb garden.
My intent is we're gonna start canning and start pickling and shit like that, because we got okra and stuff like that growing constantly.
Nice.
And so we're probably gonna start shipping some of that stuff north, papayas and shit like that.
I discovered what chow chow was. I had no idea what the fuck that was.
Isn't that a dog?
I don't either.
It's like diced up peppers and fucking carrots and cabbage and celery and shit with
sounds like shit.
It's not bad, actually. Mix it in with some beans, it's pretty good. I enjoy
like kimchi.
You know, it's funny. I was just joking about this weekend how it's, you know, you're in Nashville, and how everybody's like, Southern man and this grits. And I said, I live south of you, and they don't eat grits here. In fact, if you ask them, they wouldn't even know what the fuck it is. They're like, we're a respectable man from the South. I'm like, well, I'm south of you, motherfucker, and I don't know what that is. Like, when they joke about grits, I never saw one until pretty recently.
Shit.
I think that's like an Eastern South thing, like a Georgia type thing, isn't it? Grits?
Probably.
South Carolina to Georgia area.
Yeah. Wherever they had like colored water fountains, I guess.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Probably. Only at Andrew Jackson's house did they have fucking grits. God damn it all.
God damn. I tell you what, I'm glad you're back on Tuesday night.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a hectic couple weeks. It's going to be a hectic couple weeks, but we're going to do what we can to put episodes out and keep Heroes Talk going strong, because we're going fucking strong right now. Heroes Talk is going hard as fuck with Bug Zapper Radio Wednesdays, Truth Time Theater Thursday nights popping up episodes, and Best in Show Radio putting out their video and audio Fridays. Every week, four cylinders here firing with intensity.
And I gotta say, last week I thought we did a good show. I think Clayton did an awesome show.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. Truth Time Theater did a great show, and Best in Show, absolutely awesome. I think everybody was on top of their game last week, and I was so happy.
Definitely.
It's funny on Best in Show. Like, for some reason, I'm having trouble with their iTunes, so I've started to stream it. And when I think they were talking about Sex in the City. And that show
and girls.
Or whatever.
Yeah, girls.
And it's funny, they're trying to make a joke here. Nothing made me happier than listening to them go, well, I haven't even seen the show. And they're all comparing who they're talking, and then they throw another show reference, and then I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, it's fantastic.
It was really good.
Oh,
I loved it.
Absolutely, the discomfort of knowing. Well, we're going to talk about shows none of us have seen. It's fantastic.
I can't stand that fucking show, Girls, by the way.
I watched one episode about 5 minutes in, and I'm like, nope, sorry, bad HBO series.
I watch it, and I hate every character. I hate them. They're self-absorbed.
I got a question for you, and this is kind of a serious question, because I'll answer about myself. Would you consider yourself a bit of a misogynist?
Yeah, I guess. I guess a little bit. A little bit.
I'd say no.
You'd say no for you, Steve?
I mean,
if you think about it.
There's only one spot where I'd consider myself a misogynist, and it's women driving, and that's it. I just don't think women are as good at driving as men, and that's the only instance I would ever say women are not as good.
I mean, when I think about it, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a comedian at the local comedy club. I wouldn't just say, let's go. I would say, who is it? And you'd say a name. And if it was female and I didn't know them, I am not going. I just don't. That's my level of it.
I wouldn't say that.
Female cop? Do you feel safe with a female cop, Steve?
Yes, more so than a male cop.
What?
Absolutely.
What do you mean, how more so?
Because I think female cops are less prone to violence than a male cop would be.
But shouldn't you be prone to violence when you're dealing with violent criminals?
No. I mean prone to get violent in a situation that doesn't require it.
I don't know.
I think men are quicker to go off the handle than a woman.
And I think that's part of the idea why you don't want to get caught by the cops.
Well, yeah. I mean, I plain out don't want to deal with cops to begin with, but... I would rather deal with a female cop.
It's only gotten until I've gotten older, realizing that, like, I think I'm definitely more misogynistic than I used to. I am. Like, I don't know about women hating, per se, but it's definitely, like, I don't listen to women artists at all, period, enough.
Like music?
I'm like, if you don't play a fucking instrument, I don't want to hear you.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, because, you know, most men just gets up there and sings. It doesn't happen. He has to have an instrument. He has to be doing something. But a woman can sing, and it's fine. And for some reason,
unless it's like Frank Sinatra or some old school dude. But yeah, but now, Carrie Underwood doesn't have to touch a guitar, and she's got a career.
Right.
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 Yeah, that type of shit.
That kind of shit. And so, like, just like how Amanda's like, I like the band with the female lead singer. As soon as I hear it's a female lead singer, I'm out.
Really?
I guess because, no, absolutely. For some reason, I can't. My boss used to say I tune out the female frequency, whatever it is. But no, it's just something. I guess because when it comes to art, like I like to at least semi feel like I can understand where the artist is coming from.
There's a certain relatability.
I can't relate to a woman. I just can't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then you add in that modern, like, woman bitchy, like,
oh, I can't stand that shit.
And shit. Oh, just fuck you.
Like,
and
the womenists.
I'll tell you this. Okay. I'll tell you this. In the airport, waiting for the plane, I found a spot with an outlet so I could charge stuff, which is key. However, I was 4 feet away from the loudest foreign tongued individuals that you could even imagine. Lexochar Honda Tennessee Nashville Alalaba Shahar Salah, like just fucking screaming whatever the fuck it was.
Were they Arabic?
I don't know what the fuck. It was every other goddamn it was a slurry of languages. And I didn't give a shit because I had my outlet. Now let me tell you something. If I was next to a group of fucking broads and the deluge of bullshit that they talk about, and he was all like, and I was like, and we're best friends, and we're talking, and this, and I would have moved. I would be like,
you know what?
Fuck my phone. I don't give a fuck.
You'll hear from me,
or you won't.
No, here's my take on that, because I think under the age of 18, I can definitely deal way better with guys under the age of 18 than women under the age of 18. But it seems like
Steve. But the problem is, it goes.
Don't care about anything.
It's a sliding scale with women because you'll see like the same conversations in like 40 something broads that just haven't fucking decided to just be women and not just yammering cunts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
so. Yeah, I think the answer is I am a definite fucking misogynist in a few areas. Yeah, I agree with you with the.
I think my wife's probably listening by now because I'm probably gonna get chastised when I go in there. But I think it's one key thing that upsets me in general when I say misogynist or whatever is, and I've had many discussions about this, is that I don't like the attitude of women who walk into a situation going, a man is not supposed to put a hand on me. Our man's not supposed to touch me or hit me or do anything.
I agree with that. Equal rights.
However, I think it's a very dangerous fucking assumption to make. And so they have this attitude like, I'm going to go up there and push people around because I'm a woman. And and I'm just like, dude, you're going to run into a fucking brick wall one of these days.
Exactly. And, no, I agree 100%.
I'm going to press charges. Well, good, you're going to do that, breathing through a fucking tube at the hospital,
Yeah.
How about you just avoid? And it's that attitude that. You know, putting myself in a dangerous situation, even though it's not, just kind of that shit.
Yeah,
well, the thing is, women use that as a shield. I mean, that's what that is. I mean, women think they can get as violent as they want, and their shield is that they're a woman, and no one can raise a hand to them. That's where I think equal rights comes in, and I think you should be able to hit a man as hard as you hit a woman if they provoke you to the same amount of anger.
How much more successful do you think men as a whole would be if they could say whatever the fuck they wanted to anybody and have no fucking repercussions? You can't hit me. I'm a guy.
I think the world would cease to function.
You think so? That would be the end
of it. That would be the end of the world.
Because to me, it seems like women want to be treated just like men. They want the same, the same...
No, they want the same success, benefits that
the
men
same
get.
Benefits, right? And I think that you should definitely not hold anything back on any person, but you kind of have to just not have that attitude. Just like Clayton is saying here, where I can do whatever I want, and you can't hit me. You can't talk to me like that.
Right.
You shouldn't go through the door first. I am a lady. Like, you know what? Fuck you. You're a person. I'm not going to hit you because you are a lady, but he might. That fear is out there for you.
It's okay when you have all the rights to fuck us in the ass when we didn't know, but now when you just open up a can of worms to let us know, we're openly fucking you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to rip a guy out of his car because he cut me off and beat the shit out of him, but there's guys that will do it. You can't.
That happened to a friend of mine, actually. My friend got pulled physically out of his car because he had the window open.
What an asshole. Got drive away, you fucking idiot.
Dude, have you ever seen a woman get hit? Like, have you ever seen a woman get punched?
No. No, I haven't. I haven't.
Not by a man. I've seen women get punched by other women. But
no, I mean, if a man laid into a woman. Oh, I've seen some goddamn haymakers.
Only on TV.
Really?
Only on TV.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is, one time it was a woman hit a man first. She hit him.
You're opening the floodgates.
He turned around. It was at a bar. And he fucking, I mean, he brought down goddamn thunder right across her face.
And good. Good for him.
All he went to laughing. The woman gets hit in the face. Everybody starts laughing. So she, and to her credit, she took the fucking punch.
Wow. She took you know what? I did see that.
But it was like a delayed reaction. And then, I guess her whole body shut down and she just went fucking dropped like a sack of shit.
I saw a guy fight a girl in high school. There was a kid named Oscar, and then there was this rotund Spanish girl.
There it is.
And they were having words. And they just—I guess she decided to square off, and the people circled around them. And I guess he didn't want to be seen as a bitch, so he shoved her. She punched him in the face. He gave everything he had to her, right in the jaw, and like the Terminator 2, you know, when fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger punches the T-1000 and its fucking head just kind of goes back and comes right up. She went back at him for more. And Tito Santana broke it up.
What? Oh, that's right. He taught in our state.
Tito Santana was a substitute teacher at my school.
Oh, was he?
He took both of them and threw them to either side of the hallway. I've had enough of your bullshit.
Oh,
that's great.
God damn. But he was about to get his ass handed to him.
Oh, that kid was done. She took off her shoe. You know, I was told by a black girl in high school. If you ever see a black girl take off her shoe,
better run away.
Your ass better run away. I'm like that is a tip that I will pass down. Thank you. And apparently, it's true with any female. See a female take off one shoe, you're probably gonna get hit with it.
Wow, I've never known that.
They never take one off unless they're gonna use it as some kind of a weapon. An improvised fucking spike or something. I don't know.
Wow.
They'll take both off because the heels are killing them, but they're going to fucking blast you with usually it's like a fucking, some kind of a sharp heel or a boot in some cases. Yeah, you got to watch out. That kid was going to get his fucking head handed to him, and he owes Tito Santana his fucking reputation. Because at least he can say, hey, I gave it right back. I didn't hit her first. I gave it right back. But
yeah, and he's all going to say, dude, I was going to start this fight, but Tito Santana broke it up.
Yeah, that bitch was going for him. She was unfazed. She was pushed back simply because there was force behind a hand that happened to strike her. She didn't feel shit. She didn't have a mark on her.
There's nothing like watching somebody eat a punch.
Yeah.
And just you know.
Yeah, she ate it like fucking Pop Rocks. Just like a little bit of, what the fuck? It's blowing up underneath my tongue. What is this? Oh, it's candy. Oh, all right. I'm with it. Just a little confusion and then back to destroy mode. Anyway. So yeah, I went hockey talking. Clayton, and I had a pretty good goddamn time drinking some breakfast beers, doing some hollers and swallers, this fucking stupid thing, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Well, I'm sorry to sidetrack your Nashville story, sir.
It's all right. All over, to be honest. I was trying to stifle my laughter in the when I was witnessing line dancing because I had a feeling that the six or seven people in cowboy outfits would not take kindly to a guy wearing a fucking North Face jacket in the fucking heat of Nashville.
Well, if you ever come here, I'll take you. We'll go sit and laugh at them together. Like, okay. What are they going
to
do?
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd love to do that, actually. Payback.
10-4. All right, absolutely. Gentlemen, I will, Clayton. If I don't speak to you, I will see you tomorrow then.
Thank you very much. Facebook.com/BugZapperRadio and also Facebook.com/MyMom'sGarden. Check out the amazing, amazing garden of Clayton's mom. Very good. You're going to be listening to Bug Zapper Radio Wednesday evening. That is tomorrow night for those of you listening live. Wednesday evening on Heroes Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. If you really enjoy any of these shows, tell some people about it. Pass it on. Get them into the live broadcast. Get them downloading the shows. Then you'll have other people to talk to to talk to about our shit. Won't that be nice that you can relate a reference? You can explain who Steve the LARPer is to someone else and not seem like some weird fucking douche who just doesn't listen to mainstream music or entertainment or watch the same shows or watch the same movies or get burped in, have burps just plugged into your fucking ears. And if you also like it, go to heroestalk.com/Amazon. Click on our link to Amazon and buy yourself something nice. Take your money, spend it on yourself or someone you love. Father's Day's coming soon, people. Buy your dad a goddamn gift from Amazon. Barring that, let's say you don't speak to him, or maybe he's passed on to that great beyond. Buy yourself something nice. HeroesTalk.com/Amazon. You get something. We get a small cut. We get to pay our bills and continue producing episodes like this. Steven, thank you very much for being a part of this. Special thanks go out to Clayton from Texas and also his mom with these gargantuan squash plants that are overtaking an old goddamn battleship from the Second World War. Steven, is there anything you'd like to say?
Steamroller, cocky socks.
At least get it right. At least get it right.
Cocky roller steam socks?
You know what? You're going to be banned from the show. Do that again, you're fucking banned!
I've been banned before.
Well, fair enough. HearUsTalk.com. Download everything we've ever done. Subscribe to our show and all the other shows on the network of podcasts. That is the finest you'll ever come across. HearUsTalk.com. Thank you very much, and have a good week.
Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.